Please turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Isaiah, chapter 38. Isaiah, chapter 38. And I'll read the first 8 verses. In those days, Hezekiah became mortally ill, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, and said, "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, saying, "Go and say to Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of your father David, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears. Behold, I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and will defend this city. And this shall be the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has spoken. Behold, I will cause the shadow on the stairway, which has gone down with the sun on the stairway of Ahaz, to go back 10 steps." So the sun's shadow went back 10 steps on the stairway on which it had gone down. This morning we looked at verse 1, in which Hezekiah became mortally ill. As the ESV translates it, he had a sickness that brought him to the point of death. And then to confirm his coming death, the Lord sent a message through Isaiah in the second half of verse 1. "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." This evening, we look at the rest of this passage. In verse 2, we see Hezekiah's response to the message that came through Isaiah. In verse 2, "Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord." We have seen the good and the godly character of Hezekiah on previous occasions when trouble came upon him. Back in chapter 36, when the Assyrian army surrounded Jerusalem, and Rabshakeh, the commander, made his violent threats of destruction against the city in the hearing of all the people, Hezekiah then responded by tearing his clothes and putting on sackcloth and going up to the house of the Lord for prayer. We saw the same thing again in chapter 37, when Sennacherib returned and sent that letter to Hezekiah. Hezekiah took the letter and went up to the house of the Lord and spread the letter before him in prayer. We have seen on each of these occasions the calm trust and confidence of Hezekiah in the Lord, and he showed himself to be a man of true faith and submission to the God of heaven. We see the same thing here again. He received this most sobering and the most distressing news that one can receive in this life, especially a 39-year-old man in the prime of life, that the sickness he has will result in his coming death. And nothing could be more certain than the word of the Lord, "Thus says the Lord, you shall die and not live." Hezekiah did not respond by breaking into a fit of anger, claim as if he thought the Lord had not dealt fairly with him. He did not complain that he had already been through so many severe trials. It was not right for the Lord to add this further burden upon him. He did not reject the message, as some would have done, as some do today, and claim that it shall not take place. He shall beat this disease that has come upon him. But as soon as Hezekiah heard the news of his imminent death, in calm silence he did one thing and one thing alone. He turned to the Lord and cast himself upon the Lord in prayer. He was surely overwhelmed by the news, as any man would be. But he shows himself here to be a man of true patience, always ready to endure any new trial, if it is the Lord who sends it by his will upon him. We should understand his turning his face to the wall here as his desire to be alone with the Lord and to pour out his anxieties before him. If we look at the last chapter, last verse of this chapter, verse 22, we read, "Then Hezekiah had said, 'What is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord?'" And what this shows us is that it was Hezekiah's desire at this time to go up to the house of the Lord for prayer, as he had done on other occasions. But back in verses 1 and 2, his illness was apparently so severe that he was on his deathbed, at the point of death, unable to go up to the house of the Lord. And the only secret place that he could find to call upon the Lord was to turn to the wall and pray to him. A remarkable pattern in Hezekiah's life, to show his piety that whenever trouble came upon him, even in the worst of trials, he did not turn to men and what men could do, but he turned to the Lord and to the Lord alone in prayer. Those most solemn words at the end of verse 1, "You shall die and not live," Hezekiah's immediate response, he turns to the wall and he prays to the Lord. John Calvin comments on this, and he says that it is of very great importance to us that nothing should be prevented to our eyes or senses which should drag us away from prayer, that we may pour out our desires more freely before God. So Hezekiah here is a great example to us, a great encouragement to us, that even in the darkest trials that can come upon us, we should always respond by going to the Lord in prayer. The God of Hezekiah is our God today, and he has not changed. And as we'll see, he is still the God who hears prayer and the God who answers and does great things. The Lord said in Psalm 50 and verse 15, he said, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I shall rescue you, and you will honor me." Psalm 55 and verse 22, "Cast your burden upon the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken." We should turn for just a moment to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Begins with really a description of a man like Hezekiah. "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty." This is the way Hezekiah lived his life. This is really a description of the kind of man he was. He was a man who dwelt in the shelter of the Most High, and he continued to live in the shadow of the Almighty. And he said, as we read in verse 2, "I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust." And then there were promises of deliverance from even great dangers. In verse 5, "You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you." Verse 9, "You have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. He will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways." And then down in verse 14, "Because he has loved me, therefore," the Lord says, "I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. And I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and let him behold my salvation. So Hezekiah would have known of this psalm, and perhaps it was in his mind as he called upon the Lord in prayer. But he was always submissive to the Lord's will in whatever it might be. We turn back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 38. And here, as we see Hezekiah's response when he hears the news of his coming death, we ask the question, how can we be men and women like Hezekiah and do as he did when the end comes? The only answer is by being always praying men and women now in our daily lives, because as how we live now is how we shall die in the end. If it has been our pattern, only if it has been our pattern to always go to the Lord when troubles come upon us, only then will it be what we do when the end comes. This is what we see here with Hezekiah. In times like Hezekiah experienced, such great distress, such trouble of mind, it must have been such anxiety of his soul as these things came upon him. We do not even know how to pray in such a time as this. But the Lord has given to us the Holy Spirit, who is able to help us to pray in such times. Romans chapter 8 says, you have received not a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we can cry out to him, Abba, Father. And the Spirit helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. We have an intercessor at the right hand of God in Jesus Christ. And we have another intercessor within us to help us even to groan in the Holy Spirit. But as we look at Hezekiah's response here, we should not look at things just outwardly, but we should realize that there must have been much grace and help given to him from heaven at this time, because he was a true child of God and the Lord never forsakes his own people. When this news came to Hezekiah from the Lord, then surely help must have come to Hezekiah as well from the Lord at the same time by the Holy Spirit, enabling him to look to the Lord in faith and cast his cares upon him. The promise of Jesus was true for Hezekiah as it is for all of God's people, that my grace is sufficient for you and my power is perfected in weakness. We come now to Hezekiah's prayer in verse 3. And this is what he prayed. He said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Hezekiah here, he asked the Lord to remember him, to remember the good things that he had done in the Lord's kingdom. We've seen in our previous message the great works that Hezekiah did back in 2 Chronicles chapters 29 through 32. When Hezekiah became king of Judah, the land had been plunged into sin and idolatry by the wickedness of his father Ahaz. And Hezekiah became God's instrument to turn the nation around. He cleansed the temple of its idols. He consecrated the priesthood. He reinstituted the worship of God in the temple. He went throughout the land of Judah and Israel as well and cut down the Asherah He removed the high places. He broke down the sacred pillars of false worship. He established, he celebrated again the Passover that had not been celebrated for many years, and he called the whole nation to attend. Hezekiah brought about a great reformation in God's kingdom for the worship and the glory of God, and he was one of the greatest kings in the history of the Old Testament. We read of him in 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse 5, that he trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. He trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that after him, there was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor among those who were before him. He clung to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses, and the Lord was with him wherever he went. He prospered. We read again in 2 Chronicles 31 and verse 20, that he did what was good, right, and true before the Lord his God. And every work which he began in the service of the house of God in law and in commandment, seeking his God, he did with all his heart and prospered. So when you read the life of Hezekiah, it is an amazing, inspiring story of love to the Lord, of faithfulness and zeal for him and his glory. So the testimony that Hezekiah gave here in verse 3 of his own life was no pretense. Remember now, he says, O Lord, I beseech thee, for I have walked before thee in truth and with a whole heart, having done what is good in thy sight. We notice that he begins with the inward man, and then he speaks of the outward man that flows from it. He begins and he says in verse 3, I have walked before thee in truth, meaning in the sincerity of my inner man, and with a whole heart. A whole heart is a heart that is completely devoted to the Lord. It is not a divided heart in which a man tries to, with some part of his heart, serve the Lord, but then with the other part of his heart, he is still serving the world and himself. That was not Hezekiah's heart. His was undivided. It was a whole heart that was completely committed to the Lord. And then out of that whole heart, we see, he says, and I have done what is good in thy sight. So it is from his sincerity inwardly and from his whole heart of devotion to Christ that then flow the good things that he did in his outward works for the kingdom of God. But in this short prayer that we have here in verse 3, it would be very easy for us to misunderstand what Hezekiah is really saying here. Is Hezekiah boasting of his good works before the Lord? Was he here claiming some merit from the Lord because of his good works? The question is, how do we understand this prayer? Several things we can say. First, Hezekiah was not praying for salvation by his good works. He was already a man of faith in the Lord, trusting in the Lord, seeking the Lord, as we have always seen. And he knew that salvation was not by his good works. Salvation was only by faith in the Lord alone. Hezekiah would have known what Isaiah says in his own preaching in this book. For example, in Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 24, we read this, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. And then in verse 25, we read this, in the Lord, all the offspring of Jerusalem of Israel will be justified and will glory. So Hezekiah knew that his righteousness, by which he was justified, came from the Lord alone. We notice in the prayer that he does not mention salvation at all. So he is not asking for salvation by any good works. He is only asking for the Lord to remember him and the good that he has done. The second thing we can say is that Hezekiah did not claim any sinlessness or perfection before the Lord. He knew that he was like any other believer with much remaining sin. And we see at the end of verse 3 that Hezekiah wept bitterly, which must have included not just tears over his imminent death, but also the remembrance of so many sins and failures, even as he looked back over the good that he had done. A third thing that we can say is that Hezekiah knew that all the good he had done was by the grace of God at work in him. He was not boasting here. He was not claiming merit before the Lord. He was recalling the good that the Lord, by his grace, had enabled Hezekiah to do. Hezekiah understood that any good that he had done was not from himself, but was by the grace of God. Paul put it this way in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. Paul said, But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. And Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, we are his workmanship. That's what we are as Christians. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, which God prepared beforehand for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So Hezekiah knew this, that all that he did was by the grace and by the workmanship of God in him. He did not explicitly say it here, but we could put the best construction on this very short prayer, and we could read verse 3 in this way. Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how by your grace in me I have walked before thee in truth and with a whole heart, and by your work in me I have been able to do what is good in thy sight. So he understood that every good thing he did was by the grace of God and the work of God in him. A fourth thing we can say is that the Lord permits his people to remember the good that they have done for him by his grace. Not boastfully, not claiming any merit, but he enables his people to remember the good that they have been able to do by the grace and work of God in them, and he enables them to remember those things, to encourage them in times of trial, and to fortify their souls in times of severe temptation, which is what Hezekiah was going through on this occasion. The people of God, by the grace of God, are not what they once were. We are created in Christ Jesus and able to do good works. And so Christians are able to do what is pleasing in the sight of God. And the Lord allows us to remember those things with a good conscience. Not for merit, not as if they are perfect. But we are able to look back on life and see the grace of God at work in us. Now we can see this in several passages. We'll turn to some of them first in Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, chapter 5 and verse 19. Nehemiah back before the book of Esther, Nehemiah chapter 5 and verse 19. And Nehemiah prays in verse 19. And he says, remember me, O God, O my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. Now Nehemiah had been in the captivity. He had been a cupbearer for the king. And then he heard the distress and the reproach of his own people back in Jerusalem. And Nehemiah had great concern for them, and so he left his position there in the royal court, and he returned to Jerusalem, where he became the governor of the land, and he used his position to do much good rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And it was all by the grace of God and the work of God in Nehemiah. And so here what he does is he looks back over what the Lord has enabled him to do. And he asks the Lord to remember him for good, to remember him according to all that he has done for his people. We see the same thing in Nehemiah chapter 13. Nehemiah chapter 13 and verse 14. Nehemiah 13, verse 14, he says, "Remember me for this, O my God, and do not blot out my loyal deeds, which I have performed for the house of my God and its services." Now, Nehemiah was not being remembered for good by Sanballat and Tobiah and the other enemies of the people of God there in Jerusalem. But if men would not remember him for good, then Nehemiah would ask the Lord to remember him for good. And then he says here, "Do not blot out my loyal deeds." He means, do not allow my reforms, which I have enacted for your glory, do not allow them to fail or be reversed. Do not allow them to be blotted out, but permit them to continue and to have lasting good effect upon your people. And then he says here in verse 14, which I have performed for the house of my God and its services. This is why he did what he did, he confesses. He did it not for himself or for his own glory, but he did what he did for the house of God, for his glory and the good of God's kingdom. And everything that Nehemiah says here was true of Hezekiah as well. Hezekiah made much sacrifice. He suffered many things to reform the nation. And he asked the Lord in that prayer to remember him and the good that he had done so that it would not be blotted out, so that it would last and it would continue. Hezekiah could say the same thing that Nehemiah did here. All that I have done was for not my good, but for the house of my God and for his glory and his worship. Matthew Henry writes on this verse, he says, Nehemiah here reflects with comfort and much satisfaction, with comfort and much satisfaction upon what he had done for the house of God. It pleased him to think that he had been in any way instrumental to revive and support religion in his country and to reform what was amiss. Deeds done for the house of God are good deeds, and God will certainly remember them. We see the same thing in verse 22. He says, "And I commanded the Levites that they should purify themselves and come as gatekeepers to sanctify the Sabbath day. For this also remember me, O my God, and have compassion on me according to the greatness of thy loving kindness." And then we read down in verse 30, "Thus I purified them from every foreign and appointed everything foreign and appointed duties for the priests and the Levites, each in his task. And I arranged for the supply of wood at appointed times, and for this the first fruits. Remember me, O my God, for good." So what we see in all of these verses is that the Lord permits his people to remember the good that they have done. Good that they have done by his grace. And good to remember these things in his presence, in prayer, and to remember them for their own encouragement in times of trial and to fortify their souls against great temptation. Because God's people are not what they once were. And we are not living under the power of the devil in his kingdom, and we are not living in the ways of the world, but we are living for the kingdom of God and for the glory of God in the earth. And we might look back and we might see so many sins, and that is true, but we should always remember that there is still good that every Christian has done, and the Christian should remember these things. Even a cup of cold water is remembered by the Lord. We do not need to be great men and women and have done the most fantastic things that people write books about later. We do not need to be that. But the cup of cold water, the clothing for the poor, the little deeds that are done are remembered by the Lord. We'll turn to a couple more passages briefly and simply point them out to us. The next one is found in Psalm 18. Psalm 18 and verse 20. Psalm 18, verse 20. David says, "The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God, for all his ordinances were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also blameless with him and kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his own eyes." David here confesses his own integrity in the ways of the Lord, and he gives various examples of it. He knew he was not perfect. He confessed his sins many times in the book of Psalms. But the overall pattern of his life was to walk in the ways of the Lord and to keep his ways. And the Lord remembered him and recompensed him with help and deliverance. We turn to one other passage just very quickly in Psalm 26. Psalm 26. And we'll read verse 1. And again, a psalm of David. He says, "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart, for thy loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I do not sit with deceitful men, nor will I go with pretenders. I hate the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I shall wash my hands in innocence, and I will go about thine altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of loving kindness, of the voice of thanksgiving, and declare all thy wonders. O Lord, I love the habitation of thy house and the place where thy glory dwells." So here again, throughout these verses, we have a confession of David's integrity and his walking in the ways of the Lord. So in all of these things, we see that the Lord permits his people to remember the good that they have done by his grace for their own strengthening and their own encouragement to remember his work in them. We turn back to the book of Isaiah chapter 38. And we see that what Hezekiah is really doing here in verse 3. He is remembering his works, the grace of God at work in him. It is true that only by the blood of Jesus is our only hope of entrance into heaven. And even whatever good we may have done in this life, it must all be cleansed from its sins by the blood of Jesus, our only hope to enter heaven. But while that is true, it is also just as true. It is just as true that every believer ought to live his life in such a way, in integrity, by the grace of God, so that when the end comes, he may be able to look back with a good conscience, as Hezekiah did here, and ask the Lord to remember him for the good that he has done. Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Then we read in verse 4 through 6, then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of your father David, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. We see here the effect of Hezekiah's prayer with the Lord, that he reversed here the sentence of death upon him in verse 1, and now he promises another 15 years of life to Hezekiah down at the end of verse 5. I will add 15 years to your life. Back in verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Isaiah. Back in verse 1, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Now in verse 4, the word of the Lord came again to Isaiah. And the word of the Lord once again was, go and say to Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, and the word of the Lord to Hezekiah at the end of verse 5, I will add 15 years to your life. The one was just as much the word of the Lord as the other. What brought about this great change from verse 1 to verse 5? And how could it be that the word of the Lord was once the threat of death, and then the same day it was the promise of life? What lie between these two verses to bring about this great change? And the only answer is the prayer of Hezekiah. And that's what the Lord says in verse 5. Thus says the Lord, I have heard your prayer. And that's what has brought about all of this change. I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, the result of it is, I will add 15 years to your life. So we see here again how effectual and powerful prayer is with the Lord. The effectual prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. And we should never cease to pray, even in the most despairing of situations. And we ought never to underestimate the power and the effectualness of prayer with the Lord. When Hezekiah first heard the Lord's threat of death there in verse 1, back at the end of verse 1, thus says the Lord, you shall die and not live. Hezekiah could have said, well, it is the word of the Lord. It is the word of the Lord, and there is nothing more certain than the word of the Lord. And so there is nothing we can do, and there's nothing I can do. And he could have despaired and given up all hope and never even offered a prayer. But Hezekiah had learned from his own experience that we should never cease to pray. And the Lord is still gracious to hear prayer and to rescue us from the darkest of circumstances, and he is able to take one who is at the point of death and raise him up again and give him years of life. He is the God who raises the dead. And if he can raise the dead, then surely he can give life to Hezekiah. Should we pray for those who are mortally ill and at the point of death? The answer from Hezekiah is yes, we should. We should pray in faith. And when we pray in faith, what that means is we pray believing that the Lord is able to heal even the worst disease if it is his will. But to pray in faith means that we also pray with submission. With submission to the Lord, whatever his will may be. We notice Hezekiah did not even ask for his life to be preserved in verse 3. He doesn't mention that at all. But the Lord extended his life anyway, because he is the God who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond whatever we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us. If someone were to ask, well, how could the Lord change his mind? Did he reverse his decree of death? Did he repent and give Hezekiah life? Did he change his mind in that way? Do we not read in the Bible, as we read in Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he not said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? How could he say one thing in verse 1 and then reverse it and then give a promise of life in verse 5? Has he repented of his decree? Has he changed his eternal mind? And the answer is no. What has happened here, everything that has happened here, is all of it is under the eternal decree and plan of God. It was his eternal plan, his decree for Hezekiah to become mortally ill and for him to pronounce that threat of death. It was under his eternal decree for Hezekiah to pray. It was under his eternal decree to answer his prayer and give him 15 more years of life. So everything that took place here was under his eternal decree. He never repents or turns back from his eternal plan. All of these things are part of it. What was taking place here in verse 1 is that the Lord was testing Hezekiah's faith. A trial of faith, and his faith proved to be genuine by his prayer. And so the Lord answered and gave him life. We notice that when the Lord sent Isaiah back to Hezekiah in verse 5, he said, "Go and say to Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of your father David." He identified himself here as the God of your father David. David had been dead for almost 300 years. But the Lord mentions him here because of the covenant that he made with David to sit one of his descendants upon his throne forever, which ultimately pointed forward to the coming of the great son of David, the King of all kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the God of your father David, the God who will send the Savior who will be the son of David. Now, if we look back to verse 1, when the Lord threatened death, he only used the name the Lord. Thus says the Lord. But now, when he promises life down in verse 5, he uses the name the God of your father David. Because all life comes through Jesus Christ, the Son of David, and he is the God who gives life because he is the God of your father, David. The God who will be faithful to all the promises that he has made to David. This is why, really, he answers Hezekiah's prayer, not because of faithfulness in Hezekiah, but because he is the God who is faithful to all the promises that he has given to David and to his descendants after him. The Assyrian army was gone at this time. They had been defeated at the end of chapter 37. They could have easily regrouped and returned for further assaults on the city of Jerusalem. So the Lord gives that promise in verse 6. I will deliver you. I will continue to deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will continue to defend the city of David. Then we read verse 7 and 8. And this shall be the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has spoken. Behold, I will cause the shadow on the stairway, which has gone down with the sun on the stairway of Ahaz, to go back 10 steps. So the sun's shadow went back 10 steps on the stairway on which it had gone down. The Lord here gave a sign to Hezekiah to confirm his faith in the promise that he had just given him. And then what happens is in verse 9 through 20, Isaiah records this psalm written by Hezekiah. And then we read in verses 21 and 22, "Now Isaiah had said, 'Let them take a cake of figs and apply it to the boil, that he may recover.' Then Hezekiah had said, 'What is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord?'" Now, Isaiah adds these two verses at the end here as a kind of addendum, an explanatory note providing background on what has already taken place. Isaiah applying the cake of figs to Hezekiah's boil in verse 21, and then Hezekiah's request for a sign in verse 22, these things really take place prior to verse 7 when Isaiah promises the sign to him from the Lord. Now, a fuller account of these events occurs in 2 Kings chapter 20, and we'll turn there to see how those events unfold there. 2 Kings and chapter 20. Second Kings chapter 20, and verses 1 through 3 here are the same as in Isaiah chapter 38. Hezekiah becomes mortally ill. The Lord declares he shall die and not live. He turns to the wall and he prays to the Lord. Then what happens, apparently, is that Isaiah left the room where Hezekiah prayed, or has he prayed? But Isaiah did not get far, and the word of the Lord came to him again, as we read in verses 4 through 6. And it came about before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, so he was on his way out, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Return, return and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of your father David, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears, behold, I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake and for my servant David's sake." The end of verse 6, "He will defend the city for his own sake, for the sake of his servant David, our Lord Jesus Christ." Then we read in verses 7 and 8, "Then Isaiah said, 'Take a cake of figs,' and they took it and laid it on the boil, and he recovered." So there was a means in the recovery, though it was supernatural. Then we read verse 8, "Now Hezekiah said to Isaiah," Hezekiah is saying, what will be the sign? He is asking for the sign. What will be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up to the house of the Lord on the third day? So Hezekiah has been through this very severe trial, great distress and anxiety, the threat of the Lord's words, even from the Lord against him, that he shall die and not live. And so Hezekiah needs a sign from the Lord that the Lord now does promise him life. And then Isaiah offers him the sign in verse 9. And Isaiah said, "This shall be the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken," referring to his healing. "And here is the offer of the sign. Shall the shadow go forward 10 steps or back 10 steps? So the sign is offered there, that the shadow on the stairs, which down at the end of verse 11 are the stairway of Ahaz, perhaps stairs in the temple or in the palace of the king, that were built by his father Ahaz. These were stairs that obviously Hezekiah could see at the time. And the sign that is offered was, should the shadow go forward 10 steps or backward 10 steps? And then Hezekiah answers in verse 10. So Hezekiah answered, "It is easy for the shadow to decline 10 steps. No, but let the shadow turn backward 10 steps. It would have been natural for the shadow to decline 10 steps because that was the natural motion of the sunlight as the sun set in the sky. But for the shadow to be reversed and for the shadow to turn backward 10 steps, then this could only take place by a supernatural miracle of the Lord, causing the sunlight in relation to the earth to move backward in the sky so that the shadow went backward 10 steps. Now, the result was that the shadow went backward 10 steps. The means by which this took place, we are not told. We might think, well, it must have taken place perhaps by the rotation, if we know how a little bit about the planetary motions, right, of the star, the planets around the sun, we would say, well, perhaps it took place by the rotation of the earth going backward. But then perhaps it took place by the sun moving in the heavens while the earth continued its proper rotation. So men think about these things. And then what they do is they find so many problems with these things. And they ask, well, how could such a thing happen and what problems would it create in the atmosphere? And what kind of problems would it create in the solar system? And so then they say, well, the problems are too great. And the problems are too great for the Lord to do any such thing of changing any rotation or moving the sun in the sky. So then they say, well, it must have been done. Perhaps it was done by some kind of a refraction of the sunlight as it came down through the atmosphere. So the best answer to these ideas when men think this way is similar to what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 9. Who are you, O man? Who are you, O man, who thinks you can understand the ways of the great God and his rule over all his universe? The God who spoke, he merely spoke and brought the earth and the sun and the stars of the heavens into being, and placed everything where he desired it, and it moved according to his will. That great God who spoke the heavens into existence can speak again and do whatever he desires with the sunlight and the earth in whatever way he chooses. The sovereign of the universe could have performed this miracle in any way he willed. We are not told. But the great God changed the relationship between the sunlight and that staircase so that the shadow went back 10 steps. And that's the sign that Hezekiah chose at the end of verse 10 when he said, but let the shadow turn backward 10 steps. And then we read verse 11, and Isaiah the prophet cried to the Lord, and he brought the shadow on the stairway back 10 steps by which it had gone down on the stairway of Ahaz. It was again in answer to the prayer of Isaiah. The Lord brought about the great miracle and caused the shadow to reverse its course, go backward 10 steps on that stairway on which it had gone down. A similar miracle had taken place back in Joshua chapter 10 when the Israelites were fighting against the Amorites and they needed more daylight to conquer them. And Joshua said to the Lord, he said, O sun, stand still at Gibeon, and O moon in the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped until the nation avenged themselves of their enemies. And the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. And there was no day like that before or after it, when the Lord listened to the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And it was similar what the Lord did here. He turned the sunlight back 10 steps in the sky. Our God, the psalmist says, Psalm 135, I know the Lord is great, for our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and on earth and in the seas and in all the deeps. The miracle, the sign, was appropriate to the promise that had been given. For by the sign, the Lord showed that he was able to extend the hours of the day. And if he was able to extend the hours of the day, then surely he was able to extend Hezekiah's life. And that's what he did. And Hezekiah recovered from his mortal illness and lived another 15 years. So from great distress and anxiety and tears, the Lord heard the prayers of Hezekiah, and the Lord did great things and gave him life and a miraculous sign to confirm it. The hymn writer says in hymn number 4, in our hymn book, I cried to him in time of need, O Lord God, O hear my calling. For death he gave me life indeed, and kept my feet from falling. For this my thanks shall endless be. O thank him, thank our God with me. To God all praise and glory. Let's pray together. Father and gracious God in heaven, thank you for your glorious character, your kindness in hearing the prayers of your people and doing great and mighty things in delivering your people from great troubles. And thank you that we can always call upon you in every time of need. Be pleased to increase our faith and our confidence in you. Take away everything that would hinder us. Help us to follow the example of Hezekiah in all that he did that was good and right in your sight. We pray that you would hear us now and bless your word to us. In Jesus' name, amen.